Ephesians. I told you what I usually don't do is I told you what I'm going to preach on this evening. Every once in a while I do it from Sunday morning to Sunday night, but usually outside of that I never do. And change it just a touch from what I said this morning. And this morning I said I was going to preach on how not to quit, but I switched that to why we should not quit. I find out most of my points were more along the why instead of the hows, but the other ones are good. We can put those aside and preach on that again sometime. There's a lot in the book and a lot to talk about. Why we should not quit on the Lord. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Why we should not never quit on the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just need your help tonight, Lord. I don't know if someone tonight is about to quit or nobody's ready to quit, but in 2 years someone will be, or 5 years. I don't know, Lord, but Lord, every Christian is so vital and so important and have so much potential to do things for you. I pray we'd make sure that we put ourselves in the position and have the wisdom in our mind that we would not quit on you and that we would never fall and that we would stay serving you for a long time, Lord. It's a war, and the devil's trying to devour us. And that devouring is making us quit on you. So, Lord, we need your wisdom as we go this direction in the Word tonight, Father, of why we should never quit. You've given us several ideas and several reasons, and I pray we'd understand those in simplicity and in truth and in wisdom. And with the ones that we need the most, Father, individually for each one of us, I pray that your Spirit would implant those into our hearts and minds to bring back when it's time and when we're going to face that battle. We ask you, please, speak, control, and touch our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled a sermon on why you should never quit in the Lord, and I did that on purpose because it's not just quitting, it's quitting in the Lord. Now, when you quit in the Lord, probably 50% of the time, it will not, in your mind, say you're quitting on the Lord. What will happen is the devil will mess it up and twist it around and transform it, where you'll say you're quitting church, or you're quitting doing what you're doing, or you're going a new direction, or you're just going to take a break. But very rarely, the devil will never frame to get you to do wrong in the way you won't do wrong. He can always reframe it. He'll never say, hate Jesus and curse God and blasphemy, and, you know, he never does it that way. He finds a different way to do it. And so he gets you wrong in your heart and your mind or soul somehow, and somehow you'll just say, well, I'm just going to do this, or I'm just going to change this, or I'm just going to go here, or I'm going to, but it ends up you're really quitting on the Lord because God had a will for you and you got out of his will, and it's really the Lord you're quitting on. If you are not on fire for God and you go back at anything besides that, if you're on fire for God and you go back anywhere besides that and you're not on fire for God anymore, you've gone backward. When you have quit and you stop serving God, which the most obvious way we see that is going to church. You quit praying, you quit reading your Bible, you quit witnessing. There's a thousand different things that can evidence that. But usually you just go do your own thing. And most people who quit on God don't necessarily go out and just start worshiping Satan and doing human sacrifice. That's not what usually happens. They usually just quit doing the spiritual things. But actually what they did is they quit on the Lord. They left God. And I've watched this, you know, over the years, many times. I watch Bible college students do it many times. In the public college I was in, people quit a lot. And they preach, you'd get it minimal one sermon out of five in chapel a week on don't quit, because of the intensity of the place and how many people quit. Most of the people quit there. And usually it'd be a couple sermons a week, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. And different reasons not to, because even people who are serving God, anybody, anybody, a pastor, a missionary, anybody, they can all quit. Most missionaries don't stay on the field for 10 years. Most of them leave the mission field. And many Christians don't last until be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. And so we want to be ready for that. We don't want to quit on God. We want to be faithful to him, on fire for him to the very end. in this verse, it says we don't want to faint here. And it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And the word faint there, it's used a couple different words, but they're all based off of the same word. When it talks about the word faint, it's a good word. Eklou is the Greek word. But it really, it doesn't mean to quit as much as you'd think. It actually is the word faint. It's to basically pass out spiritually. It's to swoon and fall and collapse. It could mean quit. It means when you're so weak that you just lay down and give up and lose your consciousness to do those things. And that's what it means. Now, there's several ways people quit. Everybody doesn't quit the same way. I want you to understand that. And if I quit on God, I might not quit like somebody else who quits on God. But everybody does. It's one of the several ways. We see in the Bible, they're pretty common. First way they quit is they go back. Like Demas. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And Demas was a person who quit on God. And he didn't quit on Paul. I bet you, and I don't know this because the Bible doesn't say it, but I bet you when in what Demas said is, Paul, I'm sick of all the suffering you go through with you, and I'm quitting the ministry with you because you just don't know what you're doing, and you keep on getting us messed up. That's how it would have been framed, I would guess, just from my experience and things. But he actually went back to the world, and he went back to his old life. That's not all that uncommon in the Bible. I mean, it happened to several people, and they went back. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him. If any man puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not worthy of the kingdom of God. And so some people go back. Some people quit. They get discouraged and stop trying. And they say, you know, I'm just tired of fighting. I'm tired of trying. And they just give up and relax into spiritual minimality, which isn't a word, but it works for what I'm saying. And they just relax into, I'm not going to try anymore. I'm not going to, I just don't want to go soul winning. You know what? I'm too tired to go to church all the time. I'll go in and get a chance. And they might show up once a month. I went every couple months, and they just quit trying. And they would never say, I went back on Jesus, but it's the same result. Not like they say, I hate Jesus, and I'm going to go against him. No, they just quit trying. They fainted. The third way people quit is they surrender to the enemy. Is they say, you know what, this looks better. This is, you know what, I'm going to go back in this way better because serving God has its price to pay, and I'm tired of this battle and this war. And you know what? I'm going to give up because I am suffering too much. It's too hard. I want this thing too bad, or whatever the case is. It's something like that. And they surrender and say, okay, Satan, pummel me if you want, but just make sure it's fun. And that's kind of surrender to the enemy and letting the devil, and just saying, I'm going to go and live my life for sin. And that's surrendering because Satan has tempted you, and you say Satan's way is the right way because it's easier and because it's funner and because the pleasure lasts a little bit. And those are the basic ways people quit. The devil's pretty creative. He might find a fourth or fifth way for us to quit. But we all know that what quitting is. And if you quit on God, I don't want you to entertain that even thought. Don't let it into your mind. But if you quit on God, and if I quit on God, we might do different things. Somebody might be a very, very, very moral person, and they aren't going to go into deep sin. They're just going to go and not go to church and not read the Bible and not pray and not, you know, love their enemies and do the stuff that is spiritual, but they're not going to rob people. They're going to be moral and decent and spend their money on good things and be a good family person. There's one person, but another person, boy, some people quit on God and they go way down and they go to the depths. But either way, it doesn't matter. You're not serving the Lord. And so why should we not quit? Every child in here, you might want to serve Jesus your whole life. You'll be tempted to quit serving God someday. You'll have an opportunity. You'll have the attack. You'll have the thing. And all of you adults, you'll have a reason. You'll have an excuse. And you'll have a legitimate reason to quit serving God. You'll find, the devil will find some reason not to. And boy, just what we read this morning, what people suffered when they served God and the price that Jesus wants them to pay, you always have a good reason. And so why should we not quit? First of all, you will miss your crop of blessing. You'll miss your crop of blessing. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in due season, or let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's read that. Ready? Listen to this. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we what? Shall. Does anyone might reap? Okay, it says shall. God's promise is you are going to reap. Remember that, because the devil is so good at making us think that we're, you know, I've been doing all this good stuff and nothing's come of it and nothing's going to come of it. God's word is true. So when you have to reap. Let's read this to you. Nathan saw me sneak this in. And Nathan asked me what this is for. And I said it's for whipping bad kids in church when they're not being good. And so that's actually not what it's for. But he didn't believe me. He was pretty smart about that. Who in here, I need a kid who likes grapes. Who likes grapes? Any kids in here like grapes? Got a few of you who like grapes. All right. Let's see. Got several of you. Esther, come on up here. I think I can do this with Esther. God says, in due season you shall reap, you faint not. In other words, it says you're gonna reap a crop. So, all my kids love grapes. Surprised every one of them didn't raise their hand. So, we have a nice little batch of purple grapes. How many think purple are the better grapes? How many like green? How many like the dark ones? What are they kind of? What are they? Yeah. All right. So we got the we got some. Oh, Esther, grab your Bible there, wherever your Bible is. So we got here is we got a crop that's growing. So Esther, go ahead and grab your grab that seat there and just sit down there. And Esther's going to be spiritual and she's going to start planting a good crop in life. She's going to sit down and act like you're praying and reading your Bible and just being a good Christian. So. Now, everybody reaps a crop, good or bad. She's going to reap a good crop because she's reading her Bible and praying. She's serving the Lord with her life. And what happens is I, the Lord, say, you planted a good crop, and it's beginning to grow. If it's strong enough, branch. And here it is. She's got a crop growing. Now, she does not know when it's going to get there. And some crops go down pretty fast, and some crops start up here and just go, and don't move. And go really, really slow. Now, she's doing fine. I'm bringing it down. She is doing the right thing. She's doing the right thing, so she's going to reap a crop. But let's say she gets impatient, and she looks around and says, I don't see any crop. Nothing's come. And she gets impatient. She gets angry. Guess what? She quits reading her Bible. Put your Bible down. Stomp your foot and act mad. And she leaves. And she leaves. Okay, go ahead and leave. And guess what? The crop was coming, but she never got it. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. But she quit. You know, some of you, your family getting saved is coming. Your dreams in life are coming if you will keep doing the right thing. Be not weary in well-doing. Because if you get weary in well-doing, you faint. And you give up and quit. And you don't serve God anymore. Okay, Esther, come back up. Are you happy? Bring your Bible and stuff back up, all right? And now, she is. Okay, sit back down. Okay, now. She's reading her Bible. Read your Bible and pray. Do all that stuff. Now, start focusing on the crop. Trying to find it. Where it is. Why isn't here? And she's looking around for it. Is she doing right anymore? She's not doing right anymore. She's too busy waiting for God to bless her. Listen to me real carefully. A lot of Christians get very discouraged at this stage. Don't go out and plant corn and sit there and stare at the garden. You're going to get real discouraged and saying gardening's a waste of time. Keep on doing stuff that matters. Keep on working. Keep on staying busy. And if you're a farmer, you plant to keep on planting more stuff and do the weeds and hoe the things. But the harvest isn't going to be there for months and months and months. And so she gets distracted. She's not looking, and she's looking at the crop and wondering why it's not there. And she sees somebody else's crop over here and says, why do they have the crop? And she gets weary in well-doing because she's focused on that instead of it says just keep on working. Be not weary in well-doing. In due season, ye shall reap. So go back and you just say, you know what, I'm just going to keep reading the Bible. And if I never see it until I get to heaven, I'm going to keep doing what God wants me to do and do the right thing. Well, this was a slow crop. Some people's crops take a year, and some take 5 years, and some take 20 years. And all of a sudden, there is a crop, And she says, wow, aren't you glad you kept reading your Bible and praying, doing the right thing? Now, most people would grab their crop right now, but she's just staring at him. And and then she goes, and she gets to do that. Now, you can go be seated. All right. So, one of the reasons you don't quit is because you lose your crop. Demas was never going to reap any more crops. Now he began his new crop, which is bad. And when you do bad things, it's growing towards you. You say, no, no, I'm having a time of my life. I quit going to church. I went back in the world, and I'm having an awesome time. You wouldn't believe what I'm doing. You think you are, and you are for right now, but the crop's being planted. And now it's not a good crop. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You have nothing else you can do but reap what you plant. If you plant good, you'll reap good. I don't know when it is. Now, my wife and I were just been talking last week or so, and we have lately been reaping some good crops that we planted, but it took a long time. And can I tell you, if I would have done what a lot of people who are better people than me did and quit the pastorate when I was very discouraged and things are very hard, you know, a lot of you would not have been reaped as a crop because I wouldn't have been there. And the crop is being planted in me being in God's will. And you have a crop. It's people, it's influence, it's blessings, it's God's hand in your life, it's your family growing up in God's will. You have these crops that are going to grow unless you quit. Unless you quit. The big batch is coming down to you if you're doing right. You say, where are my Christians that are in church? I've been soul winning. Just wait. Just keep on going. I've been trying to influence people. I've been talking to people left and right, and nobody's coming. And you can get discouraged in well-doing and not reap because you got discouraged and quit doing it. But you keep on planting, you keep on planting. You shall reap if you don't quit. It's God's promise. And that's why you shouldn't quit, because God's blessings are coming to you. Number two, because you have a ministry. Let me just take you back a couple books to 2 Corinthians. Because you have a ministry, that's why you can't quit. If I don't do God's will for my life, some of my kids probably won't turn out for God. Probably won't. If I stay in God's will, they probably will. I don't have a guarantee either one, but that's what most of the time happens. And we'll tell you more about that in a minute. Because you have a ministry, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing when we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't quit. We don't stop. We don't pass out. We don't give in. We don't stop working. Why? Because we have this ministry, the ministry that God has given us in 2 Corinthians 3. And then it goes forward to verse 15. It says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the things given to many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. What cause? For all things are for your sakes. All things are for your sakes. And for the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For we have this ministry, and we don't quit because we're doing things for your sakes. Listen, if you don't love Jesus enough, you have to love your kids enough. Okay? If Brian quits the ministry and quits serving God and goes back into sin, and him and Annie do that, Nathan and Ethan probably aren't going to serve God with their lives. That's a fact. And he has a ministry of raising his kids. I have the ministry of raising my kids. If you have children, you have that ministry. You have the ministry of helping other people. You have ministry of people in church that depend upon you and that you're helping and you're encouraging and financially. And every other way, if you quit, your ministry doesn't get done. And God has a ministry for you. We had when I first started going to church, when I was a baby Christian, we had a couple who was a pretty sharp couple. They had a couple teenage daughters that were young teenagers. And I started going to church, and they were the church greeters, and they were core members of the church. And they just kind of got out of church a little bit, got out of church a little bit more. And boy, when they just stayed out of church. And as they stayed out of church, they started having marital problems. They had a lot of baggage that they brought to Christ, and then God delivered it from them, but they went back to their baggage. Wasn't long before they started having marital problems, wasn't long before they were divorced. And separated and then divorced. She was living with a different guy. I just happened to be door knocking and knocked on her door, and the guy was there. And I started witnessing him, and she was arguing with me, telling him what I was saying wasn't true. I met her daughters years, and got her daughters, of course, out of church. Years and years and years later, one was a couple kids from the wrong from the wrong kind of guys. And the other one was married to an unsaved guy. And they're, guess what? Their grandkids aren't going to know anything about the Lord. I believe, honestly, because those girls were doing fantastic when the family was in church. I believe those girls would have went to Bible college with the rest of us in that youth group. They were a little bit behind us, a little bit younger than us, but the rest of the kids of their generation all followed us to Bible college. I believe that they would have served God with their life. But the ministry the parents had, which is raising their kids to start off with, and the ministry in the church, they never got to do. Just somebody you might visit, someone you might invite, your ministry that God has for you, reaching your family, influencing your parents who might not be the spiritual giants, or influencing your neighbors, or influence people you go to school with, that ministry, you have a ministry. And you can't quit because seeing then we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we shouldn't faint. Why? Because you're a boat that people are going to climb in to get to Christ, and if you sink, they sink. If you sink, they sink. And you've got to stay on the right track. Next, we don't quit because of eternal consequences. Same chapter, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, 17 and 18. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Why? There's eternal consequences. You're going to serve the Lord with your life, and you're going to reap treasures forever in heaven because of the good things you do for God. Oh boy, don't risk that by quitting. You might just, the Bible says you can't give a cup of cold water in the name of a prophet without receiving a prophet's reward. You might say, I don't do that much for God, but you know what? You just being at church and smiling and greeting someone might be the person who encourages them to keep coming. It might be 5 years down the road, but that person you've been inviting who just seemed like you're just wasting your time, they might come through a hard time and all of a sudden, you know what? I want to go to church with you. Seen that many a times. Listen, we have people in our church right now who, boy, I tell you, I didn't think they're going to be here. I did not think, but God says there's eternal consequences to what you do, and if you quit, there's eternal consequences for good and for bad. You miss out on the rewards. And you've got that. You have eternal consequences. Next, we don't quit. Why? Because you consider Jesus. Because you consider Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. For ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. He says, you know what? Next time you want to quit, think about Jesus. Think about what he suffered for you. Think about how he didn't quit going to the cross. Think about the suffering that he went through because he loved you. Think about the beating and the whipping and the spitting and the rejection and the hatred and all the things that he went through the next time you want to quit. Why? You don't quit because you consider Jesus. When you get your mind on Jesus and off what you deserve and you what you should have happen and why you should be blessed, when you get your mind off yourself, it's a lot easier not to quit. But when you are self-centered, it is really easy to quit because it's all about how you're reaping. And my harvest hasn't got to me yet, and I'm serving God, and I've lost some things, and I'm doing the faithful thing, and I'm not being blessed for it, and I'm still struggling. And boy, you see that in Psalm 73, where he says, I was almost gone, because I kept looking at the wicked and thinking, I didn't get this and that and the other thing. And that happens when you don't, when you not consider Jesus. Watch Jesus talk about this, and the next passage we'll go to for a couple of points is John 6. John chapter 6. When you consider Jesus, you think about his feelings. I do not want to be honest with you. I feel kind of sorry for the Lord. And I don't want Jesus to have to look down and say, another one quit on me. Don't they love me? Don't I deserve better than them just going back? And that's who you're hurting. You can blame somebody else. And by the way, you can, and I want to say this, if Open Door blows up tomorrow and we destroy the whole thing and we all mess up and go into sin, you still have no right to go back on Jesus. You go find another like faith church and you get into it and bury your life into it. You don't ever have a reason. If I mess up and I do everything else, you have no excuse to backslide still. You keep your eyes on Jesus. Your parents might have been good Christians at one point and backslid. You have no excuse to go back on God. You serve Jesus because you love Jesus. You serve Jesus because you love Jesus. You have no excuse. And consider him and think about him. And I don't want Jesus to have me turn my back on him after all he's done for me. He's been good to me way above what I deserve. How many of you, God has not only saved you, but he's been better to you than you deserve? That's me. I don't deserve God's blessing. I don't deserve God's hand. God has been good to me. And you ought to be good back to him by not quitting on him. John chapter 6. It's a very kind of a sad passage to me when I read it. In verse 60, it says, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?'" This is difficult. And if you go down to verse 67, verse 66, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Wow. They were seeing him do the miracles, listening to his very words. His heart, sayings were hard, and he was very demanding for the cause of Christ, for the kingdom of God. And then he said many people went back on him. And this is a sad verse. Verse 67 is a very sad verse to me. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, 'Will ye also go away?'" I don't know if that verse strikes you as very sad, but it's very sad to me. Where Jesus, the multitudes, "Oh, he's wonderful. Oh, he heals. He does this." And he says, "And by the way, there's some things that God demands of you. And let me tell you what God wants you to do with your life. And let me tell you about the kingdom of God. Let me tell you about heaven. Let me tell you about sacrifice and helping the needy and loving people. And let me tell you about giving to the cause of Christ and helping people and living for eternity and dying to yourself and taking up your cross." And they said, "I don't like that. I like, go heal somebody again. I like to watch that. Hey, feed us again. That was awesome. We'll hang around as long as you feed us." And then a bunch of them just want, can you imagine the Son of God sitting there watching people just leave and leave and leave? And then he turns to the 12 and says, "Will you also go away?" Consider Jesus when you think about going away from God, and when you think about quitting or being rebellious or just going and sinning willfully and purposely. Think about Jesus. The next reason, we said, because you'll miss your crop of blessing, because you have a ministry, because of eternal consequences, because you consider Jesus, and because there's nothing better. Because there's nothing better. Look at the next verse. "Will you also go away?" And Simon Peter answered him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I love that answer. You know, one of the reasons, when I told you this morning, for those of you who were there, about when I had to decide to serve God, you know, one of the points I wrote for serving God was, there's nothing better to do. The Christian life is just a better life. It just is. We have better families. We have more peace. We have more happiness. We have better finances. I mean, it is a better life to serve God. It is a richer life. And he says, there's nothing better to do with my life. Listen, I already tried the world. I grew up in it. Why would I want to go back to it? It's empty. Well, there's nothing better to go to than serving the Lord with your life. And he said, where are we going to go, Jesus, if we leave you? You've got the words of eternal life. And Jesus has the answers. And Jesus has the things you need. And Jesus is what you need. And if you, there's nothing better to do with your life than serve God. There's nothing the devil, he'll promise you everything. But God's $10, it doesn't look like much, is a lot better than the devil's monopoly money of a million. And you know, serving God is there's nothing better to do. Why do you serve God? Because there is nothing better to do. Next, why do you serve God? Because you have a name to uphold. Because you have a name to uphold. And I'm going to read you out of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14. "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of God, Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." We of all who've done ministry work, and probably every one of you pretty much has talked to people who say, "I'm not going to church, I know a bunch of hypocrites, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I know a Christian who said he's a Christian who did this. My uncle was this, I know a preacher who did this." And you heard about all those things. I do not want to bring reproach to the name of Christ. Everyone around me knows me, knows I'm a Christian. My neighbors, my unsaved relatives, my family, everybody knows who I am and what I stand for. If I quit, I bring reproach on the name of Christ. How dare me in my selfishness undo what God has been doing to reach those people? How dare me to ruin the name of Christ? and the name of a Christian. What a holy and sacred name we should carry. And everyone should look at us and say, you're a Christian. And you live it. And the name Christian is something special. The world called them little Christ. The name of Jesus Christ should never bring reproach upon it. I don't want to embarrass my Savior's name in this world. I want people to look at the name of Christ, and I want to make people think better of Jesus because of me. I don't want to bring reproach on the name of Christ. We had a guy at Bible college. I used to work with him, actually, and good guy. And he went to Bible college, and as I told you, it wasn't easy there. And his dad was in Florida, and he called his dad. And it was in the first year of college, and he calls and he says, Dad, I'm miserable here. He says, Dad, I am discouraged. I'm homesick. I'm struggling with my finances. He says, I'm having a hard time. I don't like it here. Things are going bad. I'm tired. I'm miserable. I want to come home. Dad, can you buy me a ticket home? And his dad said, what's your name? He told him his name. My name's Ricky. I don't think it was his name. He says, what's your last name? Gomez. And he says, there's your answer. He says, I don't know if that's doing anything, but Dad, I need you to buy me a ticket. Dad, I'm tired and I'm miserable. Lord, I hate it here. Dad, buy me a ticket home. What is your name? Gomez. There's your answer. Dad, I don't know what you're saying here. I need to come home. I need you to get me back there. I don't want to be here anymore. It was stupid of me to come here. It's hard. It's terrible. I'm tired. I've never been so tired, and it's rough, and I'm having demerit problems and everything else. He said, what is your name? Gomez. Why, Dad? That's your answer. Gomez is don't quit. Click. That's what he said. My name means something. He called back. Dad didn't answer. He called back. Dad didn't answer. Call back the next day. Dad answers. Hello. Dad, what was all that about? He says, I've never quit anything in my life. And people don't think of Gomez as quitters. And you're not going to ruin my name. He says, when you want to figure out how to stay there, then you can talk to me. If you just want to quit, you're not talking to me because you're embarrassing my name. Click. You're a Christian. You don't quit on God. You're a Christian. You carry the name of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and suffered terrible suffering for you. You don't quit on him. You don't let your friends and family say, see, I knew it was just a fad. See, there's nothing different from that in some other religion. No, no, you're a Christian. You have something real and powerful, and you glorify the name of Jesus, and you let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And don't bring shame to the name of Christ. You glorify that name, not by quitting and going back to the world. And do you want someone else someday to use you as an excuse for not following God? Do you want somebody to be door knocking in 20 years and they say, well, you know, I knew all about that stuff, but my mom said she was a Christian and she did this. My son, he got saved and said he was going to church, but he went back and does all this stuff now. That, you know, I've known enough of those Christians. There's nothing real to that. Do you want to be the excuse for somebody because you brought the name? Reproach the name of Christ. Shame on us if we ever soil the precious name of Jesus Christ. We're Christians. Lastly, why don't we quit on God? Because you'll miss the crop of blessing, because you have a ministry, because of eternal consequences, because you consider Jesus, because there's nothing better, because you have a name to uphold. If none of you suffer for any of these things, it says, that none of those be named among you. And last of all, is what the Bible says. I'm going to word it the way I like it, but it says, the last one is because the Lord will think you're a wimp. Because the Lord will think you're a wimp. Proverbs 24. And God just says it straight out. Verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know what? I could quit on God tomorrow if I'm not careful. But you know what? God will think I'm a wimp and say, you see what my son did for you? And you quit on him for that? That's what it said in Hebrews 11. It says, next time you think about quit, or Hebrews 12, next time you want to quit, consider Jesus. You've not yet resisted unto blood. You know, my problems, though they might be big to me, and your problems, though they might be big to you, and your battles and your struggles and your reasons to quit on God, I know they're real. I know they seem big to us, but you know they could be. There are some Christians around the world who'd be pretty ashamed of you. There are some Christians who are being put in prison. There are some Christians who are being killed. There are some Christians who are suffering great things in the name of Christ who would say, I'll trade you problems. You're going to quit on Jesus because of that? I'm going to look someday in the face of martyrs whose whole family together was fed together to lions. Mom, dad, and children. And they wouldn't deny Christ. And I'm going to go back on him. Because of my trials today, I'd be ashamed. I'd be a wimp. If thou feign in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I know I'm not minimizing your or my problems. Our problems feel heavy to us. But I want to say, if we quit on God, we have no strength for him. He deserves better than that. You may not be ready to quit on God. Maybe God just wanted you to get a few of these thoughts, but I want you to keep them in mind. The Lord deserves better than for us to quit. So please don't quit on him. And remember these reasons and keep them in your mind and live by them and keep them there. And you keep on going for God, even when it's tough, when you don't understand, when you can't see what to do. We have good reasons not to quit on our Lord. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would not quit on you. I pray we would show ourselves strong. I pray that we would not bring reproach to your name. I pray that we would reap some great harvest, Lord, for you. And Lord, I don't think most of us are just going to flat out deny you and leave and go into deep sin. Many of us just want to quit trying because we're discouraged because we've tried and haven't got our crop yet. But I pray all of us, Lord, would just love you enough to keep on working and not faint and not be worrying well doing. Lord, help us all to just say we're not going to quit serving you. Help us all to love you. Help us all to bring glory to you. Help us to think about Jesus when we want to quit. And I pray each one of us, when you come back, or when we die in 10 or 20 or 40 years, each one of us would still be serving you because we had good reasons not to quit, better than the reasons we have to quit. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Do you get weary in well-doing? Do you get discouraged? Do you get impatient waiting for the blessings to come? Have you considered just giving up or quit trying or completely quitting and going back? Don't miss your crop of blessing. Don't ruin your ministry. Don't ruin eternal consequences. Consider Jesus. There's nothing better to do. You have a name to uphold. And the Lord will think, wow, after all I did for you, you quit for that. Do you have business to do with God? Is it something to do with just staying encouraged and keeping on doing right and keeping on doing right? Boy, sometimes when we go door knocking, we have to stay encouraged and we want to quit door knocking because we're not having a good day door knocking. I mean, it's one of those days. Be not weary in well doing. In due season, you shall reap, you faint not. Boy, I can't wait till someday, well, all the doors we've knocked on, all the effort we put in, this area starts softening and we start seeing a great harvest. Be not weary in well doing. Maybe in what I was speaking about today, I didn't even hit on the angle that the devil's been attacking you on, or maybe that God's been speaking to you on, but you need to do business with God. We're going to have an open invitation to whatever you need to do business with God, whatever it is, whether it's not quitting, whether it's staying encouraged, whether it's keeping on doing right, whether it's God spoke to you about something I never even mentioned, but the Holy Spirit is talking. We want to have a chance to respond tonight with our invitation. We're all Christians. We all love Jesus. Let's just respond as he's spoken to us to do. Let's stand. Everybody's standing.